Hey folks, it's Marvin Cash, the host of the Articulate Fly, and we're back with another Southwest Virginia Fishing Report with Matt Riley. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, Marvin. How are you?
As always, just trying to stay out of trouble, and we were talking before we started recording, and it sounds like musky season's winding down and smallmouth season is revving up.
Yep, that's for sure. We've had certainly the last 3-4 days have helped with that. You know, we've had some 70-75 degree days, and water temps are sliding pretty quickly. You know, what I look for on the musky front usually is about that, like, consistent 50-52 degree water temp, for them to kind of at least get it in their little brains about spawning. You know, more than anything, it's from my perspective, it's a scheduling decision. You know, if I'm going to make the jump to smallmouth, it's kind of tough to ride musky to the very bitter end and then hop on the smallmouth train, because typically what happens is the musky fishing starts to get a little more challenging as we get closer to spawn time, and the smallmouth fishing can be fantastic. So I tend to make the jump a little conservatively, a little earlier than maybe I need to, but it just helps everybody, I think. And, you know, all of our other in the state of Virginia, other than the Shenandoah River, all of our river musky fisheries are being sustained by natural reproduction at this point. So, you know, if it's easy to leave them alone and let them do their thing for a month or so, and, you know, hopefully get some more fish out of it, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, there you go. And so obviously we're shifting to kind of a pre-spawn smallmouth. And I know we've talked about this before in previous years, but, you know, what should anglers expect, and, you know, what should their approach be?
Yeah, you know, spawn time is always a, you know, two steps forward, one step back kind of progression. Water temps are definitely on the upward slide, but, you know, with these 75 degree days, I mean, certain places we could see like mid 50s temperatures this week. And then, you know, we'll get a little bit of a cold snap, and, you know, for the most part, our fish are going to wait until mid April or so to spawn. We've got correct photo period and usually, you know, pretty rock solid 60 degree temperatures. But it's, you know, the pre-spawn period's an interesting kind of seeding situation. You do have water temps that affect activity, but you also have kind of the hormonal, like, instinct driven feeling that's, you know, telling them that they've got this big event coming. It's going to be a big calorie expenditure, and they need to, you know, females need to build up egg masses and energy reserves, and the males need to do the same thing, because when that male goes on a nest in mid-April, you know, he'll be there for a couple weeks to a month, not really eating a lot, just more or less defending his progeny. And so they both need some extra reserve. So there's a lot of heavy feeding going on ahead of the spawn, and that's, you know, why the fish tend to be fat. You tend to get the bigger fish more than a lot of smaller fish, because, you know, bigger fish have, you know, they need to eat more to build up more. And so the cooler temperatures and, you know, weather, and as we get into the kind of low to mid 50s, day-to-day weather doesn't necessarily affect them as much as it would, say, in the summertime, when they've got 3 or 4 months to sit around and eat and not think about what's coming. So, you know, I mean, there's plenty of days in March and April you're starting out in 20 some degree weather, snow and rain and all that kind of thing. You know, just know that they have to eat, and now is kind of the time.
Yeah. And I know you love streamers, but is it kind of a low and slow game? Or, you know, if you get those warmer days, you kind of fish the kind of the warmer, shallower water with a little sunlight on it, maybe with a streamer, just to kind of see if anybody's home.
Yeah. All of the above. You know, the major food sources I look at this time of year are not necessarily food sources, but just water column areas, I guess. You know, you've got the bottom is always going to be important because water's still a little cold and the fish are potentially coming out of winter, depending on when in the year you're talking about. So to that end, you know, big like crayfish, creature-y kind of lures and flies and are always going to be important and move them pretty slow on the bottom. And then, you know, mid-column stuffs and even all the way up to not that far under the surface, you know, some stuff that floats or suspends, depending on how deep the water is you're fishing. But generally bait fishy and crayfishy stuff. And I'm going to, you know, just one for the fun factor and two for the ease of fishing for clients. You know, I'm always going to pick, probably start with a streamer. Certainly if you have two people in the boat, you can bracket the bite with a crayfish or a more active bait fish presentation. But if it's just me, I'm probably going to pick a streamer up first and just kind of play with it and see what I can get them to do. Cause it's more fun. It's a little easier. There are ways that you can really feel that out, you know, flies that do suspend pretty well that you can, you know, you can either move real fast, you know, jerk strip them or just really move them. Or, you know, give them a couple of hard yanks and then pause them for like 4 or 5 seconds and see if anybody taps them. You know, there's that kind of gradient will allow you to figure out where the bite's at. If you're getting fish to chase and crush flies, then obviously keep rolling with that. If they need a 5 second pause and then it's a super light bite, you know, maybe see how long you can get away with that. Maybe see if it progresses as the day goes on, the water warms up, or maybe consider dropping it down a little bit and seeing if you're not getting more takes on the bottom, you know. So it's just kind of feeling them out, and day to day things can be different. And you know, just not, the other thing that's extremely important this time of year is understanding that, you know, if you're doing a 6 mile float and you don't catch a fish for 2 hours, you need to be real critical about the habitat you're fishing. And if you run into a pod of fish and catch 3 or 4 of them in 5 minutes, take note of that too. And what habitat you're catching them out of, because they do move around quite a bit this time of year, and they will not be everywhere. So kind of qualify your fly choices and, you know, tactical change decisions with what's going on, what you're seeing, you know, because it's not always the fish. Sometimes you're just not on them.
Yeah, got it. And it dovetails well. We got a question from Ben, and he kind of wanted to get kind of maybe, you know, not pre-spawn specific, but, you know, kind of in general, kind of your thoughts around how you approach, you know, your fly change progression when things aren't working.
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's one that I feel like I see maybe handled incorrectly a lot of times. When I'm building out a fly box, doesn't matter what it's for. I would say maybe not trout, you know, trout fishing in the springtime, you've got hatches, you know, different, you know, color and size, you know, dry flies will make a difference at times because the fish may, you know, key in on certain bugs and those things are going to make a big difference. But if you're talking about a fish that is very opportunistic, capable of, you know, I mean, this goes for just about every fish, but talking smallmouth, musky, stripers, et cetera, they'll eat anything from a crayfish to a, you know, 8-inch chub, you know, to a bug on the surface. When I'm building out a fly box, it has more to do with building tools for different situations. You know, like one thing I see in musky fishing a lot is this concept of a kick and turn, you know, 90-degree profile show as a trigger, which is huge. But at the same time, you don't need like six different patterns and five different colors that all do that. You know, you need one pretty much, because you also need something that's going to swim or something that's going to get a little deeper. It's not quite as buoyant. Something you can pause for a long time and let it suspend, you know, and I think about that when I'm building smallmouth boxes too. You don't necessarily need like seven different swim flies that all do the same thing. They're just going to take up time at the vise stocking your box with. So when things aren't working, it pays to have a bunch of different patterns that do different things, you know. So crayfish that fish the bottom really well, that sink and get down there, you know, maybe a more lightly weighted crayfish for summertime conditions or just when, you know, you want to be able to just kind of dead drift something for a long period of time and not have it lock to the bottom. Streamer flies, mid-column flies that are going to suspend or ones that are going to jig, you know, and then topwater flies that are going to do different things, sliders and poppers and bugs. And then when things aren't working, you know, again, I guess not necessarily just talk about pre-spawn, but anytime, you know, you don't want to go from one swim fly to another swim fly to another swim fly. You know, you need to make a drastic, significant change in your presentation and then take data from the feedback you get from that. You know, if absolutely nothing is happening on the surface, then, you know, take it down to mid column and see what happens. If absolutely nothing is happening, then take it to the bottom, you know, or maybe take it to the bottom first, you know, and see. I would avoid that because mid column is just more fun than fishing the bottom. But you know, it pays to just ask yourself the question, what's going on? And if they're not doing what you're currently doing, you need to do something very different. In retrospect, I guess for me, who does it a lot, that seems relatively straightforward, but it's easy to get caught in that, you know, well, the mergement is not working, so let's try a CK bait fish, or let's try a game changer or something like that. When realistically speaking, they're very different patterns, but, you know, they kind of fish in the same area and do a lot of the same thing, you know?
Yeah. And I would imagine too, you kind of maybe pick the strata that you're fishing kind of, you know, this is an insane generalization, but I won't say covering water. I don't want to get in trouble for that. It is maybe kind of time of year, you maybe kind of pick where you start in the water column, you know, and it varies, right? Because we know in the summertime, right, more top, you know, pre-spawn, more bottom, and you kind of pick where you want to start, you know, based on that, and then vary off of that.
Right. And to another point, you know, which I thought that's where you were going to go with it for a second there. It's not always your fly pattern. Like I said, talking about pre-spawn fishing, you know, it just varied basically. If you're not around fish, it doesn't matter what fly you're fishing, you're not going to catch them. You're not going to get chases or bumps or whatever. So if you've been floating a, you know, 2 mile long, you know, just kind of even current, couple little pockets on the bank, kind of, you know, just maybe just get the heck out of there and go find some ledges or pockets or big boulder fields or just something entirely different. Take the same fly, same presentation that you weren't getting bit on and try it in there. See what happens. You know, it's all about just gathering data, changing the input and seeing what the output is and trying to learn from that. You know, it's, I think in the pre-spawn space, there's a lot of this, like, yeah, you just go out and throw a 6-inch bait fish fly and crush 5-pounders all day. And that's, it's a lot more, there's a lot more process and thought and understanding of the environment and the fish that goes into it this time of year.
Got it. And you know, folks, we love questions at the Articulate Fly. You can email them to me or DM us on social media, whatever's easiest for you. And if we use your question, I will send you some Articulate Fly swag, and we'll enter in a drawing for some cool stuff from Matt at the end of the season. And Matt, before I let you go, you want to let folks know where they can find you and fish with you this this summer, spring, and you know, into the fall. And I imagine you're probably even booking muskie for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, so spring, summer, early fall, I might have like 5 or 6 days left on the smallmouth program. But, you know, things are always changing. Schedules are always changing. Days free up here and there. So never be scared to ask about that. I have probably booked 6 or 7 musky days for next season, starting about mid to late October. So that is, it's not too early for that either, particularly if you want specific windows, because they do go pretty quickly. Yeah, trout stuff pretty much always available. Got a couple of guys that can handle that. And that's one of the, you know, I end up doing a lot of smallmouth stuff March, April. It's definitely prime time in the mountains over here. I actually haven't spent a whole lot of time doing that myself the last few years because I've been so busy with smallmouth, but we've got some great dry fly fishing and some streamer fishing opportunities even on the mountain streams. But that's always an option. So if you're interested in that, give me a shout too. And all my contact stuff's on the internet on my website, MattRileyFlyFishing.com, and just reach out however you feel best.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, listen, folks, it's warming up, you know, so, and on the East Coast, I think we're kind of through fly fishing show season. So, you know, if the weather's nice, get out there and catch a few. Otherwise, spend some time at the Vice and get ready. Tight lines, everybody. Tight lines, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Marvin.